Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Hey guys, welcome back to Grips of the Corn Podcast, the great and powerful Mr. E here. Well, it looks like a goblin has eaten up one of our episodes. So we're going to go ahead and release a Patreon episode for you guys to enjoy on the main show. This just gives you a little taste of what our Patreon people get every week. All right guys, enjoy the show.
Well, the corn cult gathered round, Patreon members making sound, cryptids of the corn were found, talking Bigfoot, dogman bound. Hiding in the woods they creep, stalking hikers making us leap, eat corn we're in deep, giant jellyfish, manta ray sweep, flying through the sky so high, hating government don't comply, UFOs alive we can't deny. Mushroom smart, fairies nigh. Elementals in the woods so sly. At the end of the night we sigh. Sitting round the fire we try. Talking monsters, eating corn. Oh my. We're the corn cult gathered round. Patreon members making sound. Cryptids of the corn we're found. Talking Bigfoot, dogman bound. Hiding in the woods they creep, stalking hikers making us leap, eating corn we're in deep, giant jellyfish, manta ray sweep, flying through the sky so high, hating government don't comply, UFOs alive we can't deny, mushroom smart, fairies nigh, elementals in the woods so sly, at the end of the night we sigh, sitting round the fire we try, talking monsters, eating corn, oh my, elementals in the woods so sly. At the end of the night we sigh, sitting round the fire we try, talking monsters, eating corn, oh my. Dogman bound.
Welcome back, Patreon.
I was going to see how long you were going to let the silence hang.
I realized that.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Talking about killing goldfish to keep squirrels away.
Yeah. That pre-intro or preamble.
Yeah. I mean, that was boiled down. That's what the decision was.
Mm-hmm. That's what we need to do.
All right. Sacrificing goldfish. Here we go.
Yep.
Now, I found a recent report. The report's not recent, but the article was.
Yeah.
This is a Mysterious Universe article. Amazing humanoids and alien entities encountered in Argentina.
Ooh.
South America has all kinds. It's not the, how do you ever say it?
The face ripper things?
No, it's not that. And it's not the Virginia. It's not Virginia, but it almost is spelled like Virginia.
Okay.
I think Oklahoma Brandon wants to come on at some point and do an episode with it.
Okay.
Virginia, I can't ever say it right. Because it looks so much like Virginia.
Okay.
Like the state of Virginia.
Right, yeah. Not like,
but that's like
my friend Virginia.
That's like aliens got involved. I think it was Argentina, running around town, making people sick, government hush money, dead bodies.
Wasn't it in Argentina too, where the gold miners or the
that was South America
on jetpacks?
Which that was in South America.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Argentina. It was in the Amazon. It was actually in the Amazon.
Okay. I can't quite remember.
But miners with jetpacks was more believable to people, I guess, than aliens.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know. Government's weird.
I'm not saying, well, because they weren't gold miners, actually. They were forcing, they were like the labor camp runners.
Mm.
They were forcing tribes people to mine gold.
Gotcha.
And they were scaring away anybody by flying around in scary costumes and jetpacks, which would work.
Oh, yeah, it would.
If I'm just kind of like going fishing in the Amazon and I see, I know it's a guy in a Halloween mask.
Yeah.
Flying around in a jetpack. I'm leaving.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. What is that? Green Goblin from Spider-Man?
You can't do this to me.
Willem Dafoe.
Good actor.
And he's scarier without it on his mask.
He does have a rugged face.
He's got a face for scary movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like Willem Dafoe, though. Him and Gary Busey. I like them both.
I love Gary Busey.
They're both great, and they're both scary.
Steve Buscemi I love, too.
He's another one.
He's a great actor.
Oh, yeah.
Whether he's acting crazy or he was recently... I can't remember what the show was, but he was a mob boss. I love the show.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. I don't know why I can't think of the name of it. I've never seen it, but
he's great.
Know what you're talking about.
He's a
great
actor.
Yeah.
Very talented.
Mm-hmm.
With his bug eyes.
He is, yes. But
you have to be a good actor to overcome that, not to rely on looks.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't know. He's cool. I like Steve Buscemi. But all right, what are we here talking about today?
The country of Argentina is a land steeped in mystique, culture, and deep history. It's also one of the highest world UFO spots and alien activity.
Okay.
So Argentina has tons and tons of reported encounters with aliens.
Up on the list.
Yeah. No, it's up there. They're all over. I believe the lead mask incident was Argentina too.
Okay. Huh.
What?
Well, I was just in Argentina too, where we're mining all the, where we're overthrowing their government and mining their lithium. Is that Argentina?
I mean, it could be Argentina. I don't know that. I know it's heavily deforested.
I know Elon Musk had a tweet that said, "We will coup whoever we want to coup," meaning government, like overthrowing their government, installing our own people. It's because they had like the largest lithium deposit, or one of the largest in the world. So, you know, we got to go in there, overthrow their government so we can mine it for us.
Hey, anybody from Wyoming still alive?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything from him yet.
No, we had one. Remember, we had one ride in.
Right. One.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. And he didn't know where he hadn't seen his neighbor in months.
He's like, you know what? After I listened to you guys, I haven't seen my neighbor in months.
Hmm.
He's dead.
Still hasn't.
We're going to go to May 4th of 1950.
Another May 4th?
Yeah. It's almost like I did that on purpose.
Wow. 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 Why'd you do it on purpose?
Do you have any ideas? Do you have any guesses?
Star Wars Day.
It is National Star Wars Day.
That's why.
That's it.
Oh, that's funny.
You get one more of those before I punch you in the balls.
What, May 4th?
Yeah, the Star Wars Day thing.
Well, why does it keep landing on May 4th?
Because that is my 30th birthday this year.
I know. Congrats.
Thank you. I hate the Star Wars Day thing.
I know you do. That's why I say it.
Mm-hmm. One more today and you get punched in the balls.
Just today?
Yeah.
Like recording today or?
No, just today.
Oh, dang.
Like lunch, you say it. Punching the balls.
All right. I won't say he's May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
So May of 1950. Arquetico Enrico Corto Enuto Bosa.
These are names?
This one guy.
Oh, that's one name.
That's one name.
Huh. Let's just call him Mr. Bosa.
Mr. Bosa was 46 years old. He was driving home from a business trip in the region of El Per El Papa, where his attention was captured by a silvery metallic object on the ground ahead of him. As he approached it, he noticed strange details, such as portholes and a translucent chalupa. And when he got nearer, he decided to stop his car and examine the thing.
Chalupa?
No, C-U-P-O-L-A.
Oh. Cupola.
I don't know what a cupola is.
I mean either. Or if I'm saying it right.
So he wanted to get a little closer look. You see a transparent thing with portholes.
Right.
Are you going to stop on the highway and go look at it?
I might take a peek.
Are you?
Maybe.
I'm a keep on driving kind of guy.
Oh, fair. It depends on where I'm going.
I've watched too many horror movies too young.
It depends who's with me and where I'm going. I'm by myself. I'm checking it out. That's for sure. If I'm with you, I know you're going to keep your hand on the wheel and keep steering me on the road.
Now, most people would have just... Okay, sorry. He got out of the car and approached it on foot to see what the object was, and it was a saucer-shaped and an opening with a port on its side. And most people would have backed out of this at this point, but not Mr. Bosa. He instead made the brash decision to climb in the thing's doorway.
Ooh.
And it was a decision he would prove to live to regret.
Uh-oh.
Within the saucer-like craft, he immediately was hit with a strong odor like ozone and garlic, purveying the gloom inside.
Mm.
As he inched his way into the dim interior, he realized that it was a circular room lined with rows and rows of portholes. Very thick glaze with some kind of transparent material, kind of resembling plexiglass, but obviously feels much stronger.
Okay.
At the center of the cabin, which was about 3.5 meters in diameter, was a strange kind of chair occupied by a man around 1.2 meters tall, dressed in a lead gray coveralls. His round head with sparse light coloring hair resting on his chest. So, little short guy.
Mm-hmm.
What a meter point two would be like 4 foot.
Okay.
So, like Danny DeVito.
Okay.
Bald big head and a little bit of chest hair.
Danny DeVito.
And lead gray overalls.
Okay.
This is Danny DeVito.
Yeah, basically. This is his origin story.
Mr. Bosa worriedly approached and could now see that the being was well-formed hands were like a light tobacco brown in color.
Ooh.
And were tightly gripping two handles that engaged from a black box in front of him. The body looked very human, but the eyes were very large and glassy looking, with dilated pupils that looked almost like they took up the whole eye.
Mm.
So describing kind of that gray eye where it's all black, but from reading it, his description, I think he can see a little bit of the white.
Yeah. Or just maybe no iris, like normal whites, but just the iris is all dilated out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that it's pushing all the way over.
Oh.
So the whites of the eyes are just maybe in the corners.
Even pushing the whites out.
Yeah.
Gotcha, okay.
Just massive.
Yeah.
Further proving that he just didn't know what he got himself into, Mr. Bosa reached out and poked the thing's arm.
Uh-oh.
So you got Danny DeVito looking guy sitting down.
In a trance.
With bug eyes.
Yeah.
Holding two things, staring at the ceiling in a UFO. Would you poke him?
Probably not.
Hey, bud, you okay?
Right, yeah.
I need a jump?
I'd imagine he was probably piloting the ship or...
He's running calculations.
Or something like that, yeah. Jump. Diagnostics.
So he's finding it to be cold and extremely rigid. He almost ran his hand along the being's suit, which seemed to be made of a material akin to leather. It was only after examining the console in front of this supposedly dead creature that Bosa noticed there were two others slumped against the walls, both appearing to be dead as well.
Mm.
So he poked the thing and he thinks, oh, it's dead. And then as he's looking around, there's two more dead slumped up in the corner.
Mm. That's not good.
As he noticed, there were four chairs in the room. So he began to wonder where the fourth alien was, assuming that it had probably at least survived and left via the opening in the doorway. So he's thinking, like, four chairs, three dead bodies. The door was open, like somebody ran out.
Or is that fourth chair for him?
Bum, bum, bum.
Mm.
It was at this point he was seized by an ill-defined sense of dread.
Uh-oh.
And he began to back out of the craft to the ground below. Once he was on the ground, Mr. Bosa felt dizzy from breathing normal air again, realizing how difficult it was to breathe and how heavy the air was inside the object. They didn't realize it when he was in there. And we've heard other people describe that from inside of UFOs, being like extremely humid almost.
Air's thick.
Yeah.
It's like Florida in summer.
I was going to say, or being like when you go to the reptile house or something like that.
Oh gosh, yeah.
You know, that feeling, like it's hard to breathe in here.
It's so hot you can't sweat, mm-hmm. or so humid you can't sweat.
It doesn't do anything.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. He got back to his car. Found that the motor wouldn't start and the car battery had unexplainably been drained dry. With much effort, he was able to finally get it started and went back to tell his friends what he had seen. I'm guessing he did the old push jump. 1950, you could do that with cars.
You shove it, yeah.
It sucked, though, trying to do it by yourself.
I can't imagine.
Hopefully you had a hill.
Well, yeah, you have to go downhill and then run up there and jump in the car at the same time.
Mm-hmm. You can do it.
Not recommended.
It's not going to be fun. Interesting, to tell his friends what he's seen. Rather than telling him to lay off the grappa, which I think is local alcohol, they went back to the site where the craft was no longer there. In the place was a pile of smoking silver red ashes.
Ooh.
At that moment, the men looked to see the saucer identical to the one Bosa had encountered flying over them at an estimated height of 600 meters, with a second identical object hovering above that. Hmm. Both of these UFOs were heading towards a large cigar-shaped ship not that far away, which they entered and which had made its way out of sight. Bosa had claimed to take photos of this, although there is not clear what happened to the pictures.
So they were just scouts, basically, for a mothership.
Yeah, so that's Mr. Bosa's encounter. Hmm. We'll continue on. But yeah, what do you think of that one?
I mean, it's pretty wild. That's weird about that. So there's multiple ships going into one bigger one. I wonder what the red stuff was that I got left behind.
So here's several thoughts I had reading this. The being in the middle, you know, wasn't very big. But we've heard stories about what appears to be old grays.
Okay.
And they kind of turn that brown with wrinkly skin. And like the tall brown, we talked about the lady that got abducted and stuff like that. And that was the one that came in to actually do everything.
Do the procedures. Yeah. It was like the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've heard that several times.
Yeah, from Daryl Sims.
Even. Oh, yeah. Even Daryl has talked about it many times, where that's like the one in charge of the group.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to me that the one in the center of it, he described as being brown, but same with the huge black olive shaped eyes, and the two other beings being kind of similar.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know if they are, like we've talked about them being drones of some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
If it was something had, like a power surge had knocked them out, or, you know, some kind of faulting in the program and they essentially died because they're meat robots.
Yeah, basically.
So, and then maybe one was still surviving or whatever and was outside doing something.
It might have been getting whatever they needed to. I don't know, complete whatever mission they were on.
A mountain lion came in there and actually killed them all.
There you go, yeah. I was thinking that main one was probably, I want to say, you know, like in Stranger Things when they had Elle and they put her in that, like, waiting pool?
Yeah. And so that's what he's transmitting to the mothership or whatever?
Maybe that, or maybe, like, yeah, maybe he was the antenna.
Connecting into, like, the hive mind?
Yeah, and that's why his dilated pupils, and it was just like basically in a trance.
Yeah.
It couldn't see what was right in front of him, but it was seeing everything else elsewhere. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, talking back to the mothership or whatever.
Or talking to whatever one that was outside.
So the silver and red ashes.
Yeah, that was interesting to me.
I think the other one may have burnt the bodies.
The bodies?
Of the three dead ones.
Oh, you think so?
I don't know. It just was odd detail to me. It made me kind of think that way.
Yeah.
That maybe, I don't know why they wouldn't just bring it back to the mothership. I don't know if there's reasons for it or if they're contaminated. Let's say it was some kind of contamination that killed the grays or whatever. So the one that survived burnt the ones that were infected and, you know, didn't want to bring them back.
I just think it was whatever residue or leftover from the ship just being
it
there.
Could be that we've heard slag and all that weird stuff falling off these things. I don't know, it just was a thought I had.
Maybe it was magnesium carbonate.
It was
some of it.
It was actually, I have the test report right here.
Oh, okay. See,
that's what we call a lie.
Yes, absolutely. But it could have been.
I don't remember how I started saying that, but it made me laugh.
So it's just becoming a thing.
In that same year, there was a case of a respected doctor by the name of, I'm sorry, all of our South American Patreon members, Enrique Caratoro Bota.
Okay.
Enrique.
He's like the other guy was Bosa, this one's a Bota.
They are actually, there's only two letters difference.
Nice.
Yeah, it's literally, actually, it's weird, I didn't realize that. It's the same name, but instead of the two S's, Bosa, it's two T's, Bota.
Ah, what if it's a...
The same guy?
It's a typo.
I doubt it.
You never know.
This guy's a doctor. His name's Enrique.
Well, maybe when he became a doctor, he upgraded from S's to T's. Mm. You know, it's one letter further down the alphabet.
So Dr. Enrique had impeccable credentials. He was a decorated ex-war pilot with a sterling educational history and a research record in aeronautical engineering. He was highly sought after by many firms in his native land of Venezuela. So he was a high-level doctor, not like a medical doctor, obviously. You know, he's an aircraft engineer, essentially,
right, yeah.
Navy aircraft engineer. But he's also a highly decorated ex-war pilot, all that.
A lot of credentials.
Yeah.
He's been through it.
Mm-hmm. So in the same year of 1950, then 40-year-old Botta, which is the doctor,
right,
was working at an architectural engineering firm based in Carcassa, which had sent him on a business trip in Argentina to work out some ambitious construction projects in the countryside. To get to and from the project, he commuted through a sparse rural landscape outside of what at the time was a fairly small city of Burra Blanca. And it was during one of these drives he would have an extremely bizarre experience that would change his life forever. So again, driving, seeing something. When he was driving, it was typically a mundane area, only sparsely inhabited and not much to see past the windshield. He was hypnotizing, you know, by the repetitive landscape flashing by him, making it easy to get lost in one's thoughts. Yeah, I've had that driving, especially through like Kansas and those kind of states.
I do it about every time I drive. It's more than an hour.
Yet on this evening, his thoughts were intruded upon by something very ominous out of the field, along with an empty road ahead. It appeared to be some sort of metallic, disc-shaped object sitting right on the grass of the field. It was unexpected enough, the sight, that Botta slowed down and stopped his vehicle to get a closer look. His first thought, it was some sort of aircraft that had come down to land out on the remote expanse. But as he drew closer, he could see it was no ordinary helicopter or plane. So keep in mind, that's what the guy builds.
Right. He's an aeronautical engineer.
Yeah. When curiosity compelled him to get out of the car and walk closer, he could see that the object was made of a very strange material and appeared to be metallic, but somewhat spongy and rubbery to the touch.
Interesting.
After circling the bizarre thing for a few minutes and gliding his hand along its weird surface, Botta claims that he came to an opening. At this point, he was curious enough, or he was definitely more curious than scared, and he decided to go in. I don't know what guys in Argentina, but they're like, open UFO?
Well, what's inside?
Let's go see.
I mean, curiosity does want to take you there.
No, not me.
Well, it's because you know. You're not curious.
I'm not.
Right.
I'm not curious with this stuff.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Because I know it's bad.
Right.
Not good.
It never is.
Once in the mysterious craft, he allegedly saw was just a plain metal corridor, along a lone blinking red light on top of a domed tabletop. As he continued, the flickering red light illuminated the room, and he had control panels, a door with vast blinking lights, knobs, meters, buttons, and switches, the whole of it hovering over a transparent sphere.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, 1950s. The dancing lights also outlined what appeared to be a curved dividend with four seats.
Okay.
Botta wearily approached until the blinking lights revealed to him the outlines of what appeared to be three small, almost child-sized figures, only about 4 feet tall, sitting in their seats motionlessly. At this point, Botta could not see that clearly because of the whirling lights and the fact that he was behind them. So he crept closer to the figures, wondering who they could possibly be. And as he did, he could see that whatever they were dressed in some sort of tight-fitting gray coveralls.
Hmm.
Keep in mind, it's also the same year as the last story.
Right, yeah.
Botta called out to them, but got no response. So he gave an overwhelming urge to reach out and touch the shoulder of one of them. As he did, he claims he could feel that the body was extremely rigid, and their skin had a charred texture.
Hmm.
It seemed that these individuals, whoever they were or whatever they were dead. This was enough to strike Botta with a jolt of fear that sent him scurrying back outside to get into his car and speed off. When Botta got back to the hotel he'd been staying at, he excitedly told two of his associates what had happened, and they decided to head back out the next morning and check it out. When they arrived, the strange craft was gone, and in the place was a large pile of red and silver ashes.
So the same thing, the same phenomena.
The same year, the same like desert.
Same country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When one of Boda's companions touched the ash, his hand supposedly turned promptly purple, much to the man's alarm. And that's when they saw a strange display in the sky above. According to Bota, there were three unidentified objects up there, two discs and a large cigar-shaped object.
Oh, no.
These strange objects hovered for a few minutes before suddenly seeming to merge into one another, after which the single object emanated a red light, sped off at breathtaking speeds, and left them standing dumbfounded. Bota would claim that for several days after the bizarre incident, his friend's hand would remain purple, where he had touched the pile of ashes, and he himself was plagued with fevers and unexplainable blisters and sunburn all over his skin.
So radiation.
Radiation sickness,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dr. Bota would keep the bizarre incident to himself for years before telling a man by the name of Hiroto Golis, and would in turn pass it along to UFO researcher Lon Stringfield. And the report would feature in Stringfield's book, Station Red.
Do you think when they saw the thing up in the sky, they had the same reaction as all those people did on Austin Powers?
Oh. You know,
two discs and one large cigar shape right in the middle. Hey, that looks like a giant Willy. What do you think that is up there? You know what I'm talking about, that bit.
I 100% know what you're talking about.
Okay. Wonder if that's what they were thinking.
It was.
I have a feeling they did. Man, but why? You don't touch the stuff.
Don't ever touch the stuff.
You don't touch the stuff. It's interesting, though, to me, though, that he was able to touch the outside of the ship, even push on it and feel it, and have nothing come of that. But when you touch the stuff underneath, big, major problems.
So this kind of goes into that living craft kind of idea.
Yeah.
That the crafts are also...
organic.
Organic. And that maybe it's poop.
Radioactive poop.
I mean...
waste. We have,
think about how many things on this planet that if you touch, it sucks.
Okay.
The gimpy tree is one we were just talking about this past weekend.
Yeah.
That you'll beg for somebody to put a bullet in your head.
Right, because it hurts so bad.
And the longest case, I believe, is 3.5 years of the pain.
Gosh.
And it just looks like a plant.
Yeah.
Right, it's in Australia. Looks like nothing special.
Right.
Like, it's not big purple warning signs. It's got a little hair on it.
Nope.
You touch it, and then you'll beg for a bullet.
That would be assisted suicide.
The sandbox tree is another one.
Ooh.
Exploding spines it has all over its trunk.
Ooh.
You don't know that?
I don't remember that one.
Now we're coming to Freaky Flora on our Friday.
Ooh.
New show. New podcast.
Freaky Flora.
Friday.
Well,
they're back to back. They're 10 minutes apart.
Oh, okay. Fair. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. But yeah, so what do you think? They're extremely similar accounts. I mean, even down to the number of occupants, there's always one missing.
The exact same. Two ships with a one mothership and then the leftover stuff behind. Yeah.
What? There's a chance that it was the same night.
Okay.
So for the doctor's story, I have no confirmed night. I do know it was that same year.
Perhaps it could have happened May 4th.
It could have. I have an exact date on the other guy's account. But imagine, I mean, if they just missed each other.
Right, yeah.
You know, or he goes in and starts poking and they're dead. And maybe that's why they were slunched over in the corner, because he poked the one and it fell.
Oh, maybe.
And then the other guy shows up and the two are slouched over in the corner. Same pile of ash, just missed each other. Or maybe they were both standing out in the desert with their own friend groups.
Yeah. Or they just had separate accounts with the same thing.
It just is weird that it's not exactly, but extremely similar.
What if it's a lure somehow?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Like where that just lands and it's enticing enough, it has the things inside. They're all dead anyways, you know?
And then, so there, one of the authors asked, you know, what were those creatures? What did you saw? Were they really dead? Did their friends perhaps come to retrieve them? Perhaps that's what, you know, Bota and his friends saw, as well as that the other circular craft, like basically towing that one back to the mothership.
Right. Yeah. Coming like a retrieval thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because everybody died, so there's nobody to drive it back. And they don't know what happens. Maybe it is like the War of the Worlds thing.
Yeah.
where the whatever the monsters are inside start getting sick from bacteria.
Right, yeah.
There's just a turtle fungus out there that just wrecks them.
Yep. Dang near killed them.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit legally.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The shields are down. What? The birds. Oh, boom.
What's that from?
War of the Worlds.
Oh, okay, that's right.
The newer one.
Right, because it's landing on the one with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, where they're running in and the ship's acting erratic and they're like, I don't know. We don't know what's happening with it. Yeah. Get out of here. And he's trying to yell over the loudspeaker. The birds are landing and poking at it and stuff
right.
like that.
Yeah, so shoot it. Shoot it. Dude.
Troy Landry.
He needs.
Would have killed all those walkers.
Oh, gosh. There needs to be a remake.
Do him a little bit, then he just starts grabbing the leg, halting it.
Yeah, that's his only lines, dude. Do it, Elizabeth. Shoot it.
Do him. You should follow him and his kids on social media.
Oh, yeah?
It's fun.
I bet it is.
I think they're good people.
Yeah.
Because they just look like they have a good family. Like, they just look like they have a lot of fun as a family.
That's good. Well, I mean, the back
seems like he's a really good grandpa, too.
That's good.
All right. So, yeah. Let's talk about some more accounts.
All right.
So we're going to speed up 12 years. 1962, there was also another several odd reports of alien encounters in quick succession. Again, in May, in 1962, on National Star Wars Day.
No way.
And the great and powerful Mr. E's birthday.
No way.
I lied. It's May 26th.
Okay.
But it was May.
Close enough.
It was May. A woman that had a sparsely populated rural area in La Papa, which is the same area as before,
okay,
claimed to see a strange bright disc land out, which came lumbering and hulking robot-like apparitions. 1962, she was just trying to use the best words she could describe. She's seeing robots on TV and that kind of stuff, because that 62 Doctor Who was on. There were several robots in prominent media.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
1960. I'm just trying to think of which robots.
Oh, she would have, had in mind.
Yeah. Just out of for my own, it doesn't matter for the story, but it just out of my own curiosity.
Right, yeah. Getting in her frame of mind, you know.
The robots seem to be collecting samples of
soil.
Yeah, 100%. And when they realized they were being watched, they stared at the woman with an insatiable gaze for some time before entering their craft and shooting back off into the sky. So these giant hulking machine-like creatures.
They see her.
Are running around the desert.
Getting dirt.
Grabbing dirt and putting it in buckets.
Probably Ziploc baggies.
And they look over, and they just see this lady staring at them, and all three of these things are just
staring back.
And then they just madly walk back to the UFO and take off. The woman's husband witnessed the disc depart as well. And the woman was supposedly so traumatized by the incident, she was taken to a mental asylum for treatment, a.k.a. a lobotomy.
That's what they did back in the day.
I'm not joking.
I know. Look at Jackie Kennedy.
In June of the same year, a 17-year-old boy by the name of...
Oh, wait. Wasn't Jackie Kennedy, sorry. Isn't that his wife?
Huh?
JFK's sister. Not Jackie Kennedy. His sister, they gave her a lobotomy. but go on. Sorry.
Ricardo Lemars was riding his motorcycle along a lonely dirt road the night in the vicinity of the same town in Argentina, when out of the gloom, a strange-looking figure appeared in the glowing headlights. Ricardo was startled and tried to swerve and ride away, but apparently his motorcycle would not obey him, instead being drawn towards a mysterious stranger.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to, like, not hit this guy.
And it's pulling it towards him.
Yeah, it's pulling it towards him. The vehicle stopped right in front of the Anunnabik being, in which the witness now could see stood well over 6 foot tall. And its head was shaped like a melon with three eyes. The bizarre entity reportedly tried to grab Ricardo before ambling off in its robotic manner and that was scarily human towards the bright white light in the distance. So this thing pulls him in, looks at him, is trying to grab him. Mm. He can't grab him very well. So then it starts ambling back off towards the light, leaving extremely deep tracks in its wake, like it was extremely dense.
I wonder if they're robotic or if they're like hybridized with insects or something like that. You know what I mean?
Crustaceans.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, that would be really hard to describe.
Right.
Because a lot of insects and crustaceans do look robotic.
Right. If you've never seen
that kind of thing before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Leaving deep tracks in its wake.
So it's heavy.
So, yeah. It was 6 foot tall, but it wasn't, as far as I can tell from the description, not very hulking.
Yeah.
So and it's the head dense. Seemed organic. So, yeah.
A dense thing.
It's made of lead.
There you go.
The following month, there was another strange encounter in the same area. When on August 21st, a medical doctor saw the disc with a halo in the sky as he was driving from the city of Parara with his wife. Right after he saw a UFO, he noticed two beings over 6 foot tall with light hair and huge eyes, which were carrying luminous objects on their foreheads, in which they made signals for the car to halt. So they're driving, they see a UFO, and they look over. There's two giant tall things with lights on their head.
And telling them,
like, stop.
Right, yeah. Time police.
Would you stop?
No, I'd run them over.
The doctor did not halt. Instead, running them over.
No, come on.
Instead, tearing off into the night in a panic, as most people in their right mind would probably do.
Yeah, it's basically like David Lopan from Big Trouble in China waving you on and run him over. No thanks.
In October of that year, there was yet another weird alien encounter reported from Argentina, and this time in the area between a place called Isla Verta and Mont Meraz. The report was given to the police by a truck driver named Ernesto Dolis. Here's what exactly he said. I was driving my truck to Las Verta when a luminous object appeared to be a spaceship surrounded by light of blinding brilliance. Came down near me. Three very tall beings, dressed in strange clothes and carrying unknown kinds of what I believe are weapons, came out of it towards me. I lost control of my vehicle and drove into the ditch. When I finally got back onto the road, I kept on driving at high speed. The creatures kept coming after me. The blinding red light came out of their craft. Creatures followed me for about a mile and a half. When I finally arrived to the outskirts of town, they suddenly stopped. They're chasing me. When they got back into their craft, which disappeared in the distance.
So they got away.
Yeah. So they were trying. Somebody was trying to get them.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
They didn't. They got away. The red light coming out of the craft, though, is that like maybe it's shooting a red beam out, or is it actually from the internals?
Because
I think of two separate things.
So from me reading it, what I get is that they were being chased, like the beings were on foot chasing him.
Okay.
And then another red thing, whether like I kind of feel as like a four wheeler, like a thing that like a ground cruiser.
Okay.
To chase after him.
Okay.
So behind him was the red light with the beings, like they're riding on something.
Okay.
And then once he got to town, they veered off.
Gotcha. Okay. Because I don't know when I think of the red light. I still think of when Daryl talked about pulling that eye off of a little gray alien, I guess you'd say. He basically pulled the eye off, and he said it was like a cover, not an actual eyeball, the big black eye. He pulled it off like a sunglasses thing. But behind it, when he pulled away, it was all like red. like red, like lights almost. So I don't know. It's, I guess that's what I thought of when you said like red light coming out of it. Maybe just seeing the internals, it's that same thing. Mm-hmm. Same entity or same thing, whatever that alien is or was. I don't know.
I mean, it could be any of it. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But already it's making me think of the Mexican Zone of Silence.
Ooh, okay.
Remember all the entities that walked out of that desert?
Yeah.
And all the Mexican kids and like workers were like, he came out in a suit out of the, you'll die out there.
Right.
Like we live here and we'll, if we go out there without water, we'll die.
Right. And this guy's
in a full suit.
Suit, yeah.
Walking around asking for directions.
Hmm. Yeah, something don't add up there. Something's odd.
The reports were continued. Oh, sorry. This passport we just talked about were corroborated by several residents in the area who had claimed to see the flying object that let off the blinding red light that was dazing them. So there's a bunch of people that lived on the side of town, like, nice night, August, having, like, fires and stuff like that, seeing the trucker flying into town, being chased by this bright red light, and then watch the red light veer off.
Mm.
There was other people that were telling the cops that, yeah, he's not lying.
Right. It's really,
something did chase him out there.
Yeah.
And once he got to the outskirts of town,
it stopped.
I don't believe any of those witnesses seen people, like the beings.
Right.
But they could see the big red thing chasing him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's weird. This is weird.
Well, Argentina isn't ours. Yeah. So that's a lot of the Argentina ones.
Okay.
And I'm going to save the rest of them because they start going into very similar accounts around the world.
Okay.
So yeah, sorry, I'm putting this behind me.
Yeah, let's dial into these Argentina accounts.
No, so it's just strange to me. So the 1951s, you got the first guy, Bota, right?
Bosa was the first guy.
Not the doctor.
Right.
Stops, sees a lit up UFO out in just the field.
Mm.
Starts walking around it, looking around. It's portholes all around it.
Right, yeah.
And whatever a transparent chalupa is.
Or something. I can't remember what you said. It's something like that.
It's cupola.
Cupola. There you go.
Whatever.
Whatever that is.
I don't know. I mean, I should have looked it up.
Yeah, probably. But you know what? We'll just call it a transparent chalupa.
A transparent chalupa.
Yeah. So it's like.
From Taco Bell.
Yeah. It's like a burrito shaped.
I don't think you can get any further away from Mexican food than Taco Bell.
No, probably not.
It's got kangaroo meat in it.
Mm. It is real meat, they confirmed.
Yeah. I mean, I never.
Mostly.
Said Well, it's that it's jelly balls in kangaroo.
That is, it's that.
They do put jelly balls in it.
Yeah, but
look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Which is meat. Mm-hmm. Those are animals.
Pirate's eyes.
I mean, they're a little bit more advanced than pirate's eyes.
Oh, okay.
They have more than one cell. this guy pulls off, is walking around the field, around the outside. There's an opening, crawls in it, sees this Danny DeVito looking guy. Starts poking him. He's like, oh, he's dead. And looks over, sees his two buddies slumped in the corner dead.
Sees four chairs, though.
Yeah, so he feels that dread. And does the same thing. And the doctor does the same thing. And they run out of there. The second they start, like, looking around and seeing the bodies.
And they're feeling off, yeah.
And then he, brings his friends back the next day. Or no, is it later that guy brings his friends back that night.
Yeah.
And then they see the pile of ash, look up. It appears to be almost being towed by another round one and goes into a giant cigar-shaped one, and then that flies off.
Mm-hmm. And they did not touch the red and silvery.
Yeah, so there was no flying purple people eaters.
No, not on this one.
Mm-hmm. Next one, doctor out there.
Bota
sees this thing, goes out, examines it, and interestingly enough, he doesn't even notice the bodies at first. What's he looking at? The panels, the dials, the technology.
Right, because he was in aeronautics.
Yeah, that's he's minded that way.
Right.
And then he finally notices, oh, there's dead things in here.
Yeah.
And that's just, it kind of, when I was reading it, made me laugh because it's just like very, you could tell they're very different people.
Oh, between the two of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's like, man, what is this stuff?
The engineering.
Oh, there's dead people over there.
Yeah.
Pokes them. They're dead. Leaves. Gets his fellow scientists. They come back.
And it's gone.
And sees roughly the same thing in the sky.
Yeah.
Two round ones, and then go into a cigar one, and then they fly off at high speeds.
And then he touched the...
His buddy.
Touched the stuff.
And then his hand turned purple.
Yeah, radiation.
Oh, no, and the other guy had... Bota had radiation poisoning.
Oh, he did? Okay.
He's the one... His friend touched the stuff and turned purple.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that had radiation poisoning symptoms.
Gotcha. Okay, okay.
And this, keep in mind, 60s, same things happen in the U.S. all over. Radiation poisoning, like people, because it's not a thing you deal with regularly. So people like sunburn, eyes welling up, blisters, all this stuff, and then getting super sick.
Right, yeah.
Because your body is just fighting off, you know, cellular death.
Yeah. Yeah, basically fighting off chemo.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally one of the hard chemos, I think it's called the Red Death.
Oh, gosh.
There's three types of chemo.
Ugh.
And the hardest one on a human is called the Red Death.
Oh, jeez.
Because it maybe has a little bit better chance of not killing you than the cancer does.
Maybe. Yeah, it's still up for debate.
You just got to outlive the cancer.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah.
I've been in a cancer ward a lot in my life.
They're not fun. No. Not at all. Cancer sucks.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing more to say about that.
Prayers. You made me think of Tony. Prayers for Tony.
Oh, yes.
Also, guys, I'm going to share it on the Facebook page. There's a GoFundMe for Tony's wife for medical expenses.
Nice.
If you can, go support him.
Yeah.
If not, just send him love and prayer. Send him an email. Just tell him
you're
praying
for
you, thinking about you. I just talked to him recently, and they're in high spirits.
Good.
So, but yeah, because he didn't even want to do the GoFundMe, and he had to be encouraged to do it because it's hard.
Yeah.
If anybody didn't know, cancer treatments are extremely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's were $68,000 a treatment twice a week.
Insane. It's insane. It's just extracting money out of people in unfortunate circumstances.
Yeah, because you don't have an option.
That those same people that probably offer the treatment are probably the cause of the cancer to begin with.
At least the increased rate.
Yes.
Cancer's always been a disease around.
Yeah. It's just now it's in such higher numbers than it's ever been in history. And
oh, yeah, we got plastic in our brain.
Absolutely.
Hormone disruption.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Volatile organic compounds, VOCs.
Bad things. Very bad things.
So, yeah, what do you think of those first two with all the connections and how similar they were? And they both were in May. I don't have proof they were both the same night.
Right.
But I only have a hard date on the first one.
It's just crazy that the story's so very similar and like in the same exact. It's got to be the same thing. They had to experience
100%
the exact same thing. But I'm wondering too if it's like a.
Talk about your lore idea because you said lore for those.
Oh, like it's a lore for curious people. I don't know. I mean, maybe once they went inside the ship, both of them, that's all whatever entity that's controlling it needed. We went inside, maybe it downloaded their DNA or their psyche, or I don't know, who knows. And then it got what it needed until they left, and then it's gone.
And, you know, neither of them mentioned missing time.
No, and I was going to mention that earlier, but because I thought maybe that would play a factor, but neither of them, I guess, talked about like going to get their friends and coming back.
I'm realizing it's been 18 hours.
You'd think they would have noticed that, but none of them did.
At least nothing major enough to notice.
Right, yeah. So it could have been a factor, but
I mean, if it was, it would have had to be small.
Right, yeah.
No, you were in there, you felt like you were in there for 10 minutes and it was a half hour.
Right, yeah.
Nothing like when we talk about the guys that like hours.
Or days.
Or
lifetimes.
The Feywilds.
Yeah, you went and lived a whole nother life. So from birth to death.
Do you think they were actually dead? Do you think they were charging? Do you like?
Huh. Yeah, that's the. I would imagine they weren't actually dead. But then again, I don't know. I don't even know if they were actually ever alive to begin with.
I mean, I guess if we're going with the assumption that grays are
a meat suit.
Yeah, but programmed.
A drone.
Drones. But yeah. They're fleshy drones.
Right, yeah.
Because from all accounts of people that have actually, like even Daryl, you know, grabbing at him and stuff like that.
Right.
They seem to be flesh-based.
Right.
But no soul present.
Right, exactly.
So, yes, I do think they can die.
But what's death to something with no soul?
Like, see, it'd be like a plant, right?
Yeah, fair.
More, or at least more akin to that.
Yeah.
But I do think they can die. Because I do think they do need probably some, either, I don't know what they run off of. Whether it's nutrient like slurry or if it is electricity or some, you know, power source like that, where they do have to sit. Maybe that's why they were so, why they felt cold and rigid is because they're like robots, right?
Yeah. So they got no life in them.
So they're not that they were dead and they were locked in those positions because maybe they were charging.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And the fourth guy was out and about doing whatever they were programmed to do.
And maybe all four of them ran off. Maybe one, like, consciousness controlled them all.
Yeah.
So when it's out and about, the other ones are just, like, it leaves all of them to control the one.
Stasis or whatever.
Yeah, it's in a stasis, or it's just in its meat suit form.
So, yeah. So do you think it was a lore, or do you think they were doing stuff, or?
Obviously, they were doing something, but it could be a combo of a lore, or maybe it's just they just so happened to stumble across it at the right time.
Just stumbling across it at the right time.
Yeah.
And then some of the later stories, like the truck driver, and then people, you know, seeing beings, these giant robots. What do you think about the robot ones? The lady seeing what she could best describe as hulking robot-like beings with three eyes running around out there.
Right, yeah. I think I'm sticking to what I thought earlier with maybe it's what you said, what, crustacean?
Yeah, but I said bug. I was even thinking maybe even reptilians wearing their armor or something.
Okay.
Because some of those are said to be massive.
Yeah, true.
And that to a elderly Argentinian woman that has only seen something like that, like a robot on TV.
Right, yeah.
She's like, a robot-like.
Right, yeah.
They were hulking and they were digging out in the desert.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I could be, that's an option, yeah. I just feel like, because I've seen, you know, praying mantis. If you blow a praying mantis to our size.
They look like robots.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, gosh.
And so it could be that too.
Yeah, like move like robots and everything. Yeah, it's very mechanical.
It could be any of it. Mm. And that was just her, and she even said robot-like, not a robot.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So I'm not saying that she did not understand what she was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
That was just the best descriptive words she had available.
Right, exactly.
Because we talk about that a lot with the like 40s and 50s. Like people describing stuff like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth on some of these like craft and that kind of stuff, or cell phones.
Right, yeah.
They just don't have the word for it. They, you know, so they're trying to describe it like a walkie-talkie, but had pictures on it.
And, you know, that was big in media, I guess, too, with TV shows and comics and
what?
Robots.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
Especially in the 60s.
I mean, look
it's
at...
It's been around forever.
Remember Back to the Future? Don't they go back to 1965?
Danger, whatever? Will Robinson. Danger.
It's Darth Vader from planet... I forget what he says. Vulcan or something like that. It's...
Mashing the two together.
Yeah, but George McFly doesn't know. He's just scared. There's this future robot alien that's visiting him, telling him he has to marry his wife. Or take her to the, or ask her out to the dance at least.
So she's, you feel like some kind of hybrid form.
Over being purely a mechanical robot, yeah.
Yeah. So do you think that's aliens? Do you think that's interdimensional? Do you think that's government?
Unfortunately, probably.
1962.
Unfortunately, government. I wish it wasn't, but.
I do think, well, obviously we know the U.S. government specifically has done all kinds of horrid things in South and Central America.
Still are.
I'm still actively doing them.
Yep.
Because it's like our close neighbor that they can test stuff on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And get away with it.
Uh-huh.
Because it's harder to do, I guess, with Canada.
Well, why?
Because they're white.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Glad you said it, not me.
Why?
Well, I mean, I'm just glad you said it. I knew the answer,
but... It's true.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at all the countries we bomb regularly. Oh, yeah, they're just full of, like George Carlin said, full of brown people. And so it's just...
They're getting too political.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Patreon, but... Yeah, it is. You're not wrong. I think it is easier. We test...
For the government, it's easier.
We test weapons. Oh, yeah, a Tuskegee experiment. There you go.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
African-Americans.
Yes. Our own people of our own country, but...
They're brown.
They're a different color, so it's somehow it's fine. That's in the perspective of the government.
The government.
Yeah. It's just it's bad. It's gross. Disgusting. Abominations. Our government is an abomination.
The next one was the kid on the motorcycle getting pulled towards it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a weird one.
Big mallet head, three eyes, tall, like human-esque being.
Tractor beam style. Excuse me.
When he stops, it's trying to grab him, and the kid gets away. Then it frustratingly, shakily, kind of human-y, walks off into the desert, leaving big footprints.
Right, yeah, heavy, yeah. So whatever. Yeah, that one's very strange and weird. Gosh, I don't know.
I almost got, after you said it, man is like Mantis Man vibes.
Yeah.
That maybe it wasn't humanoid, but when you're facing it, those giant praying mantis things look like a human.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it's
their central abdomen, you know, stretched out.
If it's bipedal,
yeah,
it's going to be human-esque.
Remember when we did our Manish Man episodes? They were almost all in the deserts besides that one in, like, Maryland.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I mostly remember, yeah.
Like, mine sites and around government mining and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Southwest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then the last one, the three hulking beings. Seeing, like, the truck driver sees a UFO in the field. Three giant monsters come out and try to wave him down to stop. And he doesn't.
No.
And then he runs, and they are somehow chasing him, running after him. I don't really know. And then the red light, you know, that
following.
I kind of think it's something they're maybe riding on.
Or it could be just the, like Randy talked about when he saw that orb come out of that portal.
It could be just a big orb thing, whatever they are.
And the orb transformed into a Bigfoot shape for him.
So they turn into it.
Yeah, maybe they are whatever the orb energy, whatever that is, and they turn into these creatures. That's what he saw. And then as they start chasing them, they kind of change their form into the red orb. I don't know.
Did not want to go into town.
Well, yeah, yeah. They maybe just know. They know it's like, that's bad news. I'm not supposed to be there.
I mean, when you go down like the demonic angle, they talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
That the best thing you can do for like Satan, they say that the best thing, the happiest you can make Satan is not believing he's real.
Yep. Yeah.
Because then they can operate in the shadows.
And now they go there.
I've talked about that a lot with my theory on why demons look like aliens now.
Yeah.
Is because if they look like a demon, it proves the opposite side of the coin.
Right.
Well, and that hurts them.
If it proves demons are real, then that proves, yeah, angels are real. And then
yeah,
that proves the devil's real. And that proves the God is real. It's like, oh, crap.
So they don't want that. So that's why I think a lot of them, and I do believe the Fae are something different in general. But some of the Fae entities, I think, are demonic.
Well, I mean, I feel like demonic has no bounds.
Yeah, you know? I just think some of the stuff we lump into the Fae as our Fae.
Okay.
Are demonic.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah.
Not that all Fae are demonic.
No, yeah.
But some of the things we lump under the Fae umbrella are demonic.
And I think some of the Fae things can also be very good, positive things.
I think they're fine. I think some of them...
They can go both ways.
Maybe
just
don't
like our world.
Maybe don't want to help you, but they definitely don't want to
hurt you. Right. Yeah. But there may be some that do want to help you.
I wouldn't trust it.
Well, I mean, like, I'm not saying
there's too many stories about not trusting them.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the trick.
Or trusting them and bad things happen.
And that's the trick, too. I mean, I don't know.
But yeah, so
use your best judgment. Trust your gut. That's what I say.
I mean, what do you think these things are? Do you think that these are all connected? So the last three we just talked about were 1962. The first two we talked about were 1950. But same place in Argentina between these like three or four little towns.
Yeah. So 50s and 60s. Gosh.
I mean, 12-year difference between the flaps.
Yeah.
And I did skip one in the 1962 with the car, the couple driving in the car, then like the things waving them to stop, and they just kept on driving.
Kept going by, yeah.
The smart thing to do.
Yep. Don't stop for Lopan. That should be a bumper sticker.
Lopan,
yeah. I'm in big trouble with China.
Oh.
Stopped. And he blinded him right after.
Yeah.
And it was his
light. I've never seen it.
Oh, it's a great movie. You really should watch it. It's right down your wheelhouse. I don't know. But I don't know. I'm curious now to think, like, obviously what our government was doing at that time. You know, height of the Cold War. What are we experimenting in?
I guess it could have maybe even not been, because Russia was very active in Central and South America as well during this time.
And you know who else was in South America that were supposed to be dead? A lot of Nazis.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was actually Argentina.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe they are Nazi experiments.
Huh. Yeah. So maybe at that time period, they're working on whatever, you know, their craft, or, you know, they had contact with interdimensional beings, dark beings, light beings, you know, on both sides of the coin, I guess you'd say, from their perspective. But they were very into that mysticism and the Vril society and having contact. Is this just a continuation of that, perhaps?
So maybe this, like you're saying, so maybe these entities aren't government controlled. Maybe they are actually like the interdimensional side, the pouring out of monsters, because they continue doing that here in South America.
Right, yeah. After the fact.
After World War II.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I've heard theories like Hitler escaped down there, but I don't. I personally don't think he did.
And there's that whole.
I think some of the other
for sure
top ones did,
because there's that whole German village.
Oh, I'm. Those are a lot. There's a lot of them.
Yeah,
because a lot of the high level Nazis sent their families already ahead.
I even think there was, and I could be wrong, but there was like Russian reports or papers that were disclosed that said that he did escape.
Yeah, no, that's the
like
conspiracy.
To South America. Yeah,
yeah, that's a conspiracy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know. I personally feel, this is a feeling, an opinion, that he did not.
You think he, what do you think happened to him?
I think he died in a bunker.
You're just drinking the Kool-Aid.
The reason being is that a lot of his top officials had already, I think they kind of abandoned him. Because they could see the writing on the wall.
Maybe.
And they're like, you know, if he dies, I'm in charge. Or I got one less person ahead of me in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a lot of that, like playing those kind of games.
Right, yeah.
And so I think that maybe he was purposely left.
Because
I do think there was some high-level Nazis at that time that were gunning for top spot. And the nation of Nazis that Hitler would, until he was dead, they were always going to back Hitler.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So the only way you could get to be the top Nazi would be that way.
Well, yeah, you have to assume, or, yeah, assume to the, not assume, ascend to the position.
So I think there were some of those, like, political games happening, more reason why I think he died, either in the bunker, or one of the bombings, or Russia got him, or whoever. I don't think he made it to Argentina.
Mm.
I think enough of his high-level people had already escaped down there,
mm-hmm.
and they were supposed to, you know, come back and get him, and they weren't gonna.
Mm.
Because a lot of those, like I was saying, that a lot of them had already sent their families, their extended families. That's where all those Germans came from in Argentina and those villages.
Yeah.
Is that they would send builders over there seven years before to go do that, to go build us a rustic German village.
Yeah. I wonder too we don't know how much.
That's an opinion.
And how much he was actually in charge of everything. If it was his officials, more or less, that ran.
I think towards the end, it was getting to be more officials.
Yeah, where he was the figurehead, like the queen, basically.
I don't think he knew that.
Right.
But I think, you get the name wrong.
Himmler?
Himmler, right? That was his right hand?
Yeah.
So Hitler always gets lumped, and Hitler had some of the occult obsession, but it was Himmler that was really the super occult guy.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and
yes.
Hitler let him do all the crazy stuff because he was also the head of the SS?
Yeah.
And so Hitler was the only person he, like, trusted was Himmler. So he would let Himmler do his side projects. But Hitler also did have the extreme fascination with the occult, but
for sure.
Nothing compared to Himmler.
Right.
So I do think some of the other top ones were kind of running the war front because they had told, you know, there was tons of his generals and stuff like that. They were like, do not do that to Russia.
Yeah.
Do not do it. And then he did it. Mm-hmm. Do not go to Africa. Like, we don't need, Africa's not a threat right now.
Yeah.
We can conquer that, after this.
No need.
Yeah.
I just watched read a story last night, actually, about this. There was like the second in command in like the German, I don't know what you call it, in command, I don't know. The second guy next to Hitler, he had flown a plane in the middle of the night from Germany to like Great Britain, and all the way to where he ran out of fuel in Scotland and abandoned his plane, parachuted out, and then they captured him. And he was supposed to be delivering a message to like a guy in the government, in the British government, like their defense secretary, basically. Equivalent at that time, I don't know. But to deliver a message of peace where they were going to have peace with the UK government as long as they both recognized that Germany was the superpower of the continent, but they wouldn't mess with them at all. They'd leave them be.
Yeah.
But turns out it was all like a trick. That guy got tricked into flying because he flew in the middle of the night with no one knowing. Mm-hmm. And so now he's a prisoner captured prisoner of war by the British government. They just held him, and he stayed that way for several years. They just kept him. And I guess, you know, Germany or Hitler was like really caught off guard. He's really upset about it. Traitor. But then turns out there was a...
another high officer tricked him into doing it?
No, I think it was a an agreement between Hitler and this high officer where they both agreed it was going to be a mission of peace, to try to have peace with Great Britain. And then if he did get captured, or if they didn't accept it at all, the offer, they would play it off like he did this rogue. He was on his own
volition. I could see that.
And, right, right. So that way it didn't make Germany look weak, trying to offer peace, mm-hmm. you know, trying to offer peace to the enemy. It didn't make them look weak. It looked like this guy just acted on his own volition.
It's crazy.
Yeah, crazy. And they did. They wrote him off as crazy. And they they made him seem like he, that was the German government's official explanation, is that night he lost his mind. He went crazy. It was a manic episode, and that's why he flew the plane there. That's what they said.
I could fully see that story being real.
Right, yeah. Oh, it happened. It is real.
I mean, yeah. You're believing what people wrote after.
Right. I mean, that's what the official government actually wrote, that he went crazy. It was an official statement.
But you're just taking that as fact.
Right, right, right. I mean, that is actually what they wrote and published.
I agree.
Yes.
But you're taking that as fact.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying that's what happened. Yeah, but that's what they officially said happened. Yes, yes. That was the official statement. Now, a government's official statements, I never agree with ever. So, yes.
And I could also see a couple of his high-level generals may have seen it as a way out.
Yeah.
To see if they will cease fire and admit that we're going to off Hitler and take command.
Uh-huh.
But it's not worth it,
right?
If we got to continue this war,
right? Yeah, because
we've been bombing the absolute poo out of them for forever,
and they're still there.
And if we kill Hitler, and we have to take control of this mess,
yeah,
it's gonna suck.
Oh yeah,
because we can't just stop. You can't just stop at this point because they're mad.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
The second you stop, you're done. They're gonna come kill you.
Exactly.
So I could see that also, where Hitler maybe didn't even know.
Yeah.
As there was a lot of stuff, especially towards the end, I think, happening.
That he didn't know about, yeah.
Yeah.
But like I said, it was in those Russian, papers that leaked out that said, sure. Yeah, which,
I don't, like I said, it's an opinion. I don't think he did escape because there were so many people gunning for his spot that had already escaped.
Yeah.
I think that they had pulled enough resources and power away from him at that point towards the end that he kind of got stuck.
Yeah.
Or he went from the actual leader to, like you said, the figurehead.
And that's with just our perspective of how government works.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
So, behind the scenes, they could all be in... all the governments are probably all in cahoots together and just protecting the role players, the people playing the role, the dungeon masters, per se.
So, do you think these are Nazi monsters out there running around?
Probably.
I mean, because the Nazis had the UFO, that craft.
That would be the Glock?
No, that was the Bell.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which nobody knows what it was for. That was because I did my report on it's the Glock, the Bell. Some people actually think it was a heavy water machine.
Hmm. Interesting.
For nuclear bombs.
Right, yeah. Hmm.
But also for, not just nuclear bombs, for power plants and that kind of stuff.
Right, yeah.
Heavy water was very important, and the Germans had it, but they didn't have the resources to make. It was a weird thing.
Hmm.
But maybe this was a more portable
version,
heavy water maker, and that would have been revolutionary.
Interesting. That's why it's hidden.
Yeah. So Argentina monsters are actually made by Nazis.
Yep. That's my opinion.
I'm more inclined to maybe that these were actually Nazis things happening out there.
Nazi experiments.
Because this is also in the 1950 was when, wasn't it the Operation Ice Cube or... High Jump or something like that in Antarctica.
High Jump is what you're talking about. I can't remember the exact year on that.
It was after Roswell, which was 47.
Uh-huh.
World War II ended in 45.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact date off the top of my head.
I don't either, but I think it was 1950.
All right, well, we're one quick Google search away, so... Then we'll end it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. What was it? Operation High Jump. 1946 to 47.
Oh,
so immediately after.
Right there in World War.
At the end of World War II.
And ending with Roswell.
Yeah. Wow, interesting.
It's 1947, the summer was when Roswell crashed.
So what, they waited a couple years before this stuff started happening?
I mean,
1950s?
They were shooting them down.
I mean, before this stuff, or what we talked about today.
Yeah, 1950s, yeah.
Yeah.
Scared a couple of them out.
And then they, yep. And then they let things cool off again for another decade.
All right, guys. Hey, let us know what you think.
Yeah, that's just our thoughts. What do you think, Patreon?
All right, guys.
Bye.
We have a corn cold gathered round. Patreon members making sound. Cryptids of the corn we're found. Talking Bigfoot, dogmen bound. Hiding in the woods, they creep. Stalking hikers, making us leap. Eat corn, we're in deep. Giant jellyfish, manta ray sweep. Flying through the sky so high. Hating government, don't comply. UFOs alive, we can't deny. Mushroom smart, fairies nigh. Elementals in the woods so sly. At the end of the night we sigh. Sitting round the fire we try. Talking monsters, eating corn. Oh my. We're the corn cult gathered round. Patreon members making sound. Cryptids of the corn we're found. Talking Bigfoot, dogmen bound. Hide in the woods they creep. Stalking hikers making us leap. Eating corn we're in deep. Giant jellyfish, manta ray sweep. Flying through the sky so high. Hating government, don't comply. UFOs alive, we can't deny. Mushroom smart, fairies nigh. Elementals in the woods so sly. At the end of the night we sigh. Sitting round the fire we try. Talking monsters, eating corn. Oh my. Elementals in the woods so sly. At the end of the night we sigh. Sitting round the fire we try. Talking monsters, eating corn. Oh my.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.